It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980 at the Denton Day on Twitter. We'll go back out to the phone lines now. Evan Washburn, CBS Sports, good enough to give us some time here on a Friday. Evan, first and foremost, man, appreciate the time. Hope you're doing well. Your reaction yesterday when you got the news that Michael Parsons was on his way out of Dallas and headed to Green Bay?
Well, good to be with you, Denton. I would say stunned, but not shocked. I think it's fair to always keep in the back of your mind that it is possible, despite what seems like a non-tradable asset and a player of Micah Parsons' ability, that if he's requested a trade and they clearly are having an impasse when it comes to contract negotiations, that a trade is possible, and not just because of the Dallas connection, but I think the Luka trade over the course of last spring or winter, whenever that was, kind of got us a little bit more in tune with the idea that anything is possible. So, yeah, I would say stunned. And then it being the Packers, even though they were rumored to have a big offer in terms of draft equity, that one kind of was a reminder of, wow, that puts them in a different stratosphere. So it was one of those times where it definitely captured everybody's attention at the same time, which is fun.
What was your thoughts then when we had to all sit through? It felt like a communal event when we all sat through the Jerry Jones press conference following the trade.
It's funny you bring that up, because I saw that he was speaking at 6:30, so that would have been 6:30 Central, 7:30 our time, and I was already kind of winding down for the evening, and I did put it on my phone for the first probably 5 minutes, and then I just turned it off, because I just think I get why we do that, and we're part of that process, press conferences, but in a situation like that, it's not as if you're going to get the real story or the real reality. I mean, I think you can parse through what is being said and try and kind of armchair psychiatrist the whole thing, but I didn't spend the rest of my time consuming the entire press conference.
Oh, what does Kenny Clark bring to that defense? I feel like he's a good player, right? So he makes them at least better in one capacity, but I don't know if he's worth Michael Parsons.
Well, he's definitely not worth Michael Parsons, but, I mean, they had to get somebody on top of the draft pick. So I think if there's somebody on that defense, then he's a capable piece. I think ideally in their world, he helps them stop the run, which they couldn't do at all last year. I know that was brought up when the trade went through after all the shock and awe of him going and how much money was spent to bring Parsons in on the Packers side of things. But the story to me is more in specifically talking about the trade is the draft picks and what they'll actually end up being. I mean, that's where, to me, I really align with the thoughts of, all right, if you were going to move on from the player, why not shop him to a place that was willing to part with draft picks, sign him, but isn't a team that now will most likely finish in the realm of you picking in the late 20s and possibly in the 30 range for the next at least 1 to 2 years.
Evan Washburn, my guest here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. So, Evan, the reason that I reached out to you, you did a really great interview with Jaden Daniels, and you know, Jaden is still very young in the league, and really, when you listen to him talk, whether it's in other interviews or in pressers, he doesn't really give you a lot. But I felt like you had one of the best interviews with him this entire offseason. What did you learn the most of sitting and talking with a guy that took the league by storm last year?
I appreciate you saying that. I would just say comfort in his own skin. He was clearly comfortable playing the quarterback position last year, and I think that comes from the amount of time and snaps and games that he was able to get under his belt in college, the environments he was in, from the issues or the trouble or the adversity, if you will, at Arizona State and then thriving at LSU, which is basically like a pro program down there. I just felt like having met with him a couple times in his rookie season, he was in that mode of, I just want to do and say all the right things, which not to say he's not doing that now, but it just feels more natural. And he just seems so comfortable. And I watched practice much like you have, I'm sure. I'm sure you've maybe been to more practices than I have. I don't take too much away from that, especially in such a small sample size. But, man, did he look, again, comfortable. I think the sense in my mind is that he now has complete control of this, and he showed that a lot last year. But where he and Cliff can go in year two, I imagine, is head and shoulders from where they were a year ago, but probably even where they were late in the season when they really got things rolling. So the word that just keeps coming to mind is comfort and who he is, what he's about, and that allows him in those settings, whether it's an interview or on the field, to just kind of be himself and not be concerned of doing and saying and all the right things that I think a lot of rookie quarterbacks, especially near the top of the draft, have to wrestle with.
So obviously a lot of us are thrilled with the way that the offense looks all on paper. What do you think the addition of Deebo Samuel can do to elevate the offense from the end of last year going into 2025?
I think ideally it would be the ultimate kind of Swiss Army knife chess piece. I think you do have to keep in mind the amount of football he's played, not so much age, but just his style of play is his wear and tear that he takes is different than other receivers because he is doing a lot of things like lining up out of the backfield, his special teams role. I think that's going to be a big part of his role with the Commanders. I think with the new kickoff rule where you're going to the 35, we're going to see so many more kickoffs returned this year. And I think that's where Deebo can be a big factor, maybe even punt returns. But then for Cliff, who's the ultimate creative offensive coordinator, and Jaden, again, going back to that idea of just being able to have more on his plate, to have a player like Deebo who can literally line up anywhere on the field, probably even under center, I think that's where you want him. But I wouldn't want and or expect that it's going to be an immense amount of touches, especially early, because the goal and the issue with Deebo at times is he gets rolling and then he gets banged up and then you lose him for 3 or 4 weeks. And then even when he comes back, he's not what he was. So that's going to require a lot of sort of preparation, prudence, kind of the caution of how you use such an explosive player.
When you were at camp and just around the facilities, could you get the idea that they really started to like a guy like a Jacory Kroski-Merritt?
It was still early, Denton, when I was there. I want to say it was late July. Was it? Yeah, I mean, if it was late or the first couple days of August. So we were still kind of in those kind of early weeks of camp. But I know his name had popped. I don't think I was able or I had it on my list to specifically ask whether it was Jaden or when I talked to Dan Quinn off camera and just kind of catching up with him. But clearly, he's somebody that they identified, even if it was late in the draft, and have been pleasantly surprised. And that is really, for what feels like a marathon of a training camp season and preseason, what I enjoy is these guys that kind of outplay their draft pick status or whether even undrafted. I mean, I'm here in Baltimore and doing their preseason games, and they just had added 3 undrafted free agents to their defense. And it's a defense that many expect to be top 10 and a team that's competing for a Super Bowl most likely. So those kind of stories are the ones that I think make a time where we're all getting a little stir crazy, ready for real games. Pretty cool.
So because you're in Baltimore and you're kind of around them as well, right? And you get to kind of get a feel for what Lamar Jackson is. How personality wise are he and Jaden similar?
Authentic. I think, and I don't mean that to say that all quarterbacks aren't authentic. I think, and it goes back to that discussion we had earlier about, I think there's this expectation that every quarterback's supposed to be the CEO or the front facing or say all the right things. And it's almost like they've watched YouTube clips of how Peyton did it or Drew Brees or Tom, and then they kind of put their spin on it. And Lamar from day one has just been his own man. And it's the coolest thing. And he's gotten more comfortable, I would say, with what comes with being one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and he's grown into it, but he's still always been himself. And at times he's guarded, but he'll also kind of open up and show you little windows into his personality. And then obviously what he does on the field kind of speaks for itself. And I think that's where kind of Jaden, in his own way, going back to our earlier discussion about just his comfort, I think that's where you could see the similarity from an authenticity standpoint in his personality and how he's going to kind of be the face of an organization and one of possibly, I mean, I think he's got to back it up for a year or two, if not more, but he could be one of the new faces of the league along with Lamar and Josh and Mahomes.
Evan Washburn with me here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dent Day sitting in. Evan, I got three more questions for you. I saw that you were around the Pittsburgh Steelers training camp as well earlier this month. What has Aaron Rodgers been like in the addition with Pittsburgh?
Well, I think what's cool for Aaron is that it's the first time, especially since he left Green Bay, but probably even in the later years with Green Bay, where it's not really about him. I mean, we're going to make it about him because that's kind of what we do, and we have him week one as a crew, and he'll be the headline of our game. But within that building, especially when they're in Latrobe for training camp, they're one of the few teams that still goes remote for their training camps, or offsite, if you will. It's about the brand, the Steelers. It's about Mike Tomlin. It's about T.J. Watt. It's about Cam Hayward, D.K. Metcalf, Jalen Ramsey. Yeah, everybody wants to know what's going on with Aaron, but within that building, he's not required to be the ultimate leader at every moment, and they're not all looking at him. What Aaron Rodgers needs to be is a elevated version of what he was at the tail end of last year, and he needs to run that offense efficiently and make a few throws and big plays in critical moments. He doesn't have to be MVP Aaron. He doesn't have to be the guy who showed up to save the Jets a few years ago. And I think that has to give you some semblance of just relief that I'm among players with similar, and a coach, similar resumes to myself. So I can, I'm with my people, if you will, as opposed to the wearing the weight of all that success is on my arm and my shoulders, which is what I think he felt at least the last couple of years outside of the injury season, and then probably his time in Green Bay when he became the man.
When you look at the overall hierarchy of the NFC, where do you think Washington falls?
Whew. I mean, I think Philly's in their own category right now, and that's well earned. I would just put them right probably in the next grouping of Detroit, Minnesota, Washington, and L.A. And I think they all have specific question marks, and that's kind of what makes this time of year fun to talk about. But for me, it gets a little bit maddening where it's like we just got to get to where we can start to answer some of these things. And I would say Washington's question marks aren't as glaring as a Detroit's with the new coordinators, L.A. with the questions about Matt Stafford, Minnesota, is J.J. McCarthy capable of leading a team that has everything necessary to win a Super Bowl in his first season under center? For Washington, it's an old roster that's going to be relying on older players in and around a star young player in Jaden Daniels to replicate what was a magical season a year ago where they won a ton of not just close games, but somewhat improbable at times games. And that we've seen can be challenging, but I'm a buyer in what Dan and Adam Peters have been able to do.
And finally, do you have a have you picked a champion yet? Who do you think is winning it?
I've never really done it like in a, and I have no issue doing it. I mean, I think we're not supposed to pick games that we call. So like, I don't know how that works if you're talking about the Super Bowl, which we're not doing this year. I don't know. I would say from the AFC, I wrestle with the same three. It's Buffalo, Kansas City, and Baltimore. I think Cincinnati's going to have their say in some things. Pittsburgh could be fun if they catch lightning in a bottle with that group. I always sort of lean towards saying Bills. And it's funny, I was in my kid's drop-off line today, and the gym teacher asked me who my Super Bowl was, too, and I just joked with him. I was like, well, I guess I got to pick the Packers now because they got Micah, and they're a pretty good team, too. But Philly's tough to pick against right now. The Philly's biggest opponent this year, in my mind, is going to be just their environment. It's such a group that, to me, kind of feeds off of the doubt and the Philly fan base and all the tension that always exists. And if they're this good, or at least what they were at the end of last year, the way they won the Super Bowl, there's not going to be that tension. There's not going to be that doubt. And maybe that's their biggest opponent. So for your case, Denton, I'll go Bills, Eagles, and see where we land.
Evan, appreciate the time as always, my friend. Enjoy the lead up to week number one.
You got it, buddy. Thanks.
That is Evan Washburn. You can see him roaming the sidelines, calling games for CBS Sports. In fact, you'll be able to see him on Paramount Plus. And all football talk on the Team 980 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. When we get back, Ben Standing will join us, get his thoughts on the lead up to week number one. Did Washington actually have a chance at Micah Parsons? He answers that question next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dent Day sitting in.